Anybody desire to press into God's presence and be there with him? Come on, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. My God, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the soul, my God's name, it is worthy to be praised. Help me bless the Lord in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The anointing of God is surely in the building. It's surely in the building. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to say you all got some cool people here at Glenville New Life. Amen. Give it up for your church. Give it up for your church. And while you're at it, give it up for your man and woman of God, Pastor Toby and Pastor Rick. Amen. Come on, celebrate your pastors. They labor before you day in and day out. And it's so awesome to see pastors supporting young people. I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. Not every church and every pastor supports the youth ministry, but you indeed have pastors here who support your youth. Young people, every young person in this building, get on your feet and celebrate your pastor. Come on, come on. If you're part of the youth ministry, celebrate your pastor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. We had an awesome time in the Word this morning, and I understand the young people had an awesome time yesterday at the prayer breakfast with Minister Neil, my good friend. I was supposed to be here yesterday morning, but I'm in college, and college is kind of whooping my butt right now, and so I had to take some time out to study and get on track with that, so I wasn't able to join you on yesterday. But praise God that I'm in the house this morning, and I'm glad to be here. Are you all glad to be here this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Giving honor to my pastor, Bishop Eric Kincaid Clark, of the Body of Christ Assembly, for his blessings in allowing me to come and minister here with you today at Glenville New Life. Pastors Toby and Rick, thank you so much. And Pastor Kelly, Pastor Kelly's in the house. Amen. God bless you. To my little brother, I call him Keon. He's out preaching right now somewhere else in Union Grove. Amen. And we honor Keon. I thank him for being part of my life and allowing me to sow into his life, and also for the invitation. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to get right into the Word. It's preaching time. Are you ready for the Word this morning? All right. That was okay. That was all right. Are you ready for the Word this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God, yes, God. I've come on assignment this morning. And when I go out to minister the Word of God, I don't take it lightly, because I believe every time you step behind this desk, every time you hold a mic in your hand and get ready to declare the Word, that it is an assignment from God. Amen. And I've come on assignment this morning to share a fresh, relevant Word with you. And my prayer is that your hearts and your minds and your spirits now be open to receive what the Lord wants to say to you. Young people, remove every distraction that you may have and set yourself in line to receive the bread of life that God wants to impart into you this morning. Amen. This morning, I want to look at several passages of Scripture. They're all going to be coming out of the book of Psalms, so you don't have to turn too much. But we'll be looking in the book of Psalms. And the first passage of Scripture I want to look at is Psalms 150. Verse 6, Psalms 150, verse 6. Truly, this church knows how to praise and worship. Amen. And there's a song in my sphere that I just want to release. And the song says, bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship him. Hallelujah, as you're finding that passage.
Bow down and worship him. Worship him.
Come on, if you know it, sing it with me.
Oh, worship him. bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, worship Him.
Can we lift our hands unto the Lord?
This is holy ground.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
This is holy ground. This is holy ground. So come and bow, bow down, yeah, yes. So come and bow, bow down. So come and bow, bow down. Yeah, yeah, yes. We come to worship you, God.
Anybody just need to lay before God's presence? I don't know about you, but sometimes we just need to lay before His presence and worship Him, lay before His presence and seek His face. Amen. If you have Psalms 150 and 6, would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word? Would you lift your Bible in the air and repeat after me? This is my sword. In it dwells life. Now life flow in me. Amen. First passage reading of scripture from the book of Psalms 150 and verse 6 says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 122 and 1, would you go there? Psalms 122 and 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In our last passage, Psalms 22 and 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of His people. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite your presence, O God, to take a rest on the inside of us, O God. God, we ask that you would move by your Spirit in this place. God, that you would have your way, O God. God, that we be receptive to your word, O God. God, remove every distraction right now that would hinder us from receiving the bread of life. Father God, increase our faith this morning, for you said without faith it's impossible to please you. So, God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for your preached word that's getting ready to come. We thank you for favor that's getting ready to fall fresh. We thank you for anointing that's getting ready to fall down. We thank you for power that's on its way, oh, God. God, I pray I would decrease that you may increase, Father. For you said if you be lifted up, oh, God. God, that you would draw all people unto you, God. So draw them to you, not to me, oh, God. Draw them to your presence. Draw them to your kingdom. Draw them to your love. Draw them to your grace. Draw them to your mercy. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody shouted amen. Hallelujah to God. It was young Jock. Young people can relate to this. Young Jock, if you listen to secular music, which I pray you don't. Amen. But young Jock, who came out with a song entitled, It's Going Down. He said, it's going down. There's a part in the song where he says, meet me at the club It's going down. It's you Sunday, right? Amen. Just checking to make sure I'm in the right house. He said, meet me at the mall. What did he say, young people? It's going down. It's going down. All right? But can I suggest to you today that the church has made a remix now to Young Jock's song, and we have a remix that says, don't act like y'all don't know it. Come on now. It says, meet me at the, it's going down. Look at your neighbor and say, meet me at the church, it's going down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going down in the house of God today. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Now, I'm sure our getting down and Young Jock's getting down is two different meanings. Young Jock's getting down is getting down to the world and getting down for Satan. And our getting down is getting down for the kingdom of God and for Jesus Christ. But saints of God, young people, I'm convinced that there are millions gathered in churches across America today, this morning, who will miss their opportunity to get down for Jesus. Look at your neighbor, tell them, don't miss it, don't miss it. Don't miss your opportunity to get down for Jesus. Yeah, when folks ask us, what are we doing on Sunday morning, we respond excitedly by shouting, I'm going to church. Some of us say, I'm going to church. Amen, I'm going to church. I guess when we say church, we're going to have a better time than church, so we're going to church. Amen. But do we know what we are really saying when we say we're going to church? Do we know how we should engage ourselves while we're in the house of God? While we're excited about being in church, there are times when we miss out on the move of God during service because some come to be entertained rather than to be edified. All right, I knew I wouldn't get too many amens on that. Some of us come to church and we look to be entertained rather than to be edified. Now, while church ought to be a place where we have a good time, and we're going to have a good time today, we already have, amen, it's not a place of entertainment. And if we be honest with ourselves today, there were times, and for some of us, there are times now, when we come to church looking to be entertained. All right, I don't expect you to be honest with me this morning, so let me be honest for you. Growing up as a little boy, I was raised in the church and did not have a choice to go to church. I recall on Sunday morning, I praise God for my parents who are here this morning, and I did not have a choice to go. I recall getting woke up early in the morning, like some of you all did today, knocks at my door, and I would roll over and act like I didn't hear nothing. And here come my dad again, knock a little harder this time. And you knew when that second knock came, you better get out the bed and get ready to go to church. Thank you, Dad, because I wouldn't be who I am today unless it was for my parents. Amen. Some found it strange that I actually liked going to church. Now, I did not tell them the actual reason why I enjoy going to church, but I told them I just enjoy going, and they accepted it. I didn't say I enjoy going to church for the right reason, but I said I enjoyed going. You see, I enjoyed going to church as a little boy, not because we would learn the story of David and Goliath, but I enjoyed it because I knew there was Sunday school for kids. And I knew on Sunday morning when I went to church that all my friends were going to be in Sunday school. I didn't enjoy it because we had to give speeches on Easter and Christmas and Mother's Day and Father's Day. But I enjoyed it because I knew somewhere along the line, somewhere during service, one of the church mothers was going to get happy and provide me with an opportunity to laugh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I'm keeping it real today. I'm keeping it honest with you today. Amen. I didn't enjoy going to church because the choir sings so good and because they hit all the right notes. But I enjoyed going because in Sunday school, I don't know about here, but we would get graham crackers and milk. And come on, anybody here like graham crackers and milk? I love some graham crackers and milk. You know, you take that cookie and you dip it down in the milk and it gets all soft and moist and it's melting your mouth. Yeah, I miss those days of Sunday school and church. You see, I was a child, and I was going because I was being entertained, and I didn't know better at the time, and the sad thing about it is that some of us are still being entertained. Some of us have not tapped into the real reason why we ought to be in church on Sunday morning, But thanks be to God that as I got older, I found out church wasn't there for my entertainment. No, it wasn't there so I could laugh at the church mother. It wasn't there because I got to see my Sunday school friends. It wasn't there so that I could eat my graham crackers and milk, even though they were good. But as I got older, I discovered one of the many things that church was all about, and that was worship. Somebody say worship. It's important for us to understand that we were created to worship God. God created us to worship Him. It's important for us to know that worship does not take place just when we gather in the four walls of a building. But worship flows from experience, and worship flows from our heart, and worship flows from our spirit. You see, worship takes place when I can recall and reflect and remember where the Lord has brought me from. Worship happens when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me. Worship happens when I look back over my life and realize it was Jesus and only Him that kept me in my right mind. That's when worship begins to flow from my spirit. So I don't need a building to worship. I don't need an organ to worship. I don't need a praise team to worship. I don't need a preacher to worship. But all I need is a thought to think about where God has brought me from, and that will cause me to lift my hands in worship. That will cause me to shout hallelujah. That will cause me to press into His presence. Anybody in here got a worship that flows from your spirit? Anybody in here got a worship that flows from your heart? Open up your mouth and begin to bless the Lord in this place. Worship, worship, worship. Worship is defined to us as the act or action associated with attributing honor, reverence, or worth toward God. Come here, come here. We get the word worship from the old English word worth-ship. All right, you got it? We get the word worship from the old English word worth-ship. Somebody say worth-ship. In other words, it means giving worth to God. So when we worship God, we are showing Him how much He means to us. This morning when the praise team was up and the dancers were dancing and all the worship was taking place, we were telling God how much He is worth towards us. Now with that in mind, some of you need to ask yourself and say, self, did I participate in worship? Or did I sit down with my arms folded and didn't participate? Because when you worship, when you clap your hands, when you lift your hands, when you shout hallelujah, when you dance, it's not for anybody else's glory, but to the glory of God. Did you show God how much He's worth to you? Throughout the Bible, there are many forms of worship. Romans 12 and 1 suggests that worship towards God is a way of life. And yes, it is. Exodus chapter 25 through chapter 40 suggests that assembling ourselves in the house of the Lord, as we are today, is a form of worship. Genesis 3 suggests that our fellowship time with the Lord is a form of worship. Now, some will refer to this book of Psalms as the book of worship. You see, music played an important role in Israel's worship as it does in today's worship. The Psalms were Israel's hymns unto God. We understand the Psalms were written as spirit-inspired prayers and praises seeking to express deep emotions of the human heart in relation to God. Let me say it again. Inspired prayers and praises seeking to express deep emotions of the human heart in relation to God. Speaking of the heart, let's talk about David. David's name meaning beloved or favorite. Throughout the book of Psalms, we understand that David was a worshiper. Yes, we know David got in trouble. Yes, we know he fell short. Yes, we know he committed some sins. But the fact of the matter is that David had a heart after God. David had a heart after God. He loved to worship, and worship flowed from his spirit and flowed from his heart. It's recorded in 2 Samuel that David praised God so hard one day until his clothes fell off. Can I suggest to you today that somewhere along the way, David must have understood that there was power in worshiping the Lord. Somewhere along the way, David understood that he had a reflection of what the Lord had done for him. Somewhere along the way, David understood that he had to lose himself in the midst of his praise and worship. And for David to be focused on God so much and for him to dance out of his clothes, may I submit to you today that his mind had to be on nothing else but God. And can I suggest to you today that if you want to go to the next level in your praise and worship, you have to lose yourself in the praise. You have to lose yourself in worship. You have to remove every distraction and focus in on God. You have to zero in on God. Get your eye on the target and say, God, it's in you that I live and worship him. God, it's in you that I have my being. Begin to worship him, Alpha Omega, my friend, my redeemer, my righteousness. Any worshipers in here? Hallelujah. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. And growing up, I was told that if you want to learn about praise and worship, just look at the example that's already been provided. Look at the example that's been provided from David. Out of our four passages of scripture that we read today, David, it's evident that David understood some things about praise and worship. Yeah, he understood some things about praise and worship. The first thing David understands, and he helps us to understand today here at Glenville New Life, is that when it comes to praise and worship, he helps us understand who should praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and ask him, who should praise him? Who should praise him? Because the scripture says, let everything. All right, rewind, reverse, bring it back. I'll say it again. Let's try it again because somebody should have clapped right there. The scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In other words, the rocks cannot praise him. The trees cannot praise him. Young people, your iPod cannot praise him. Your cell phone cannot praise him. The MP3 player in your ear cannot praise him. This building cannot praise him. Why can't they praise him? Because they don't have breath. But he says if you can inhale and exhale, if you have breath coming out of your body, if your chest is moving up and down, if you can feel air coming in and out of your nose, if you can breathe, then you ought to be praising the Lord. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And I wish sometimes the body of Christ could just praise the Lord for allowing us to breathe. The text did not say praise him if things were going well. The text did not say praise him if you're getting all straight A's in school. The only qualification to praising the Lord is that you have breath. You have to have breath to praise him. And so many times we want to praise him only when things are going good. And so many times we want to praise him only when he blesses us. And so many times we want to praise him only on a good day. But the text suggests to us that if you have breath in your body, lift up your hands, open your mouth, and praise the Lord. Praise him for waking you up this morning. Praise him for allowing you to sleep last night. Praise him for allowing the air to circulate through your lungs. The psalmist says, let everything. I feel like preaching here, that has breath, praise the Lord. And you know, we got to stop letting everyone else praise the Lord for us and learn to praise him for ourselves. Some of us are still relying on others to praise him. But can I suggest to you that you have to open your own mouth and begin to bless him. Get a praise from the depth of your spirit. Get a praise from the depth of your heart and open your mouth and worship. David understood that if we are breathing, we ought to praise the Lord. The second thing David helps us understand is how our spirit should be when praising God. How our spirit should be when we're on our way to the house of worship. He says our spirit ought to be glad. Look at the person. They look glad to you. Person next to you, they look glad. They're smiling. They look all right. Check them out now. I don't know about y'all, but when I come to church, I want to sit next to somebody who looks glad to be in the house. Somebody who's ready to say, I come to worship God. I ain't got time to worry who's sitting next to me. I don't got time to worry about what's going on. But I just come to the house just to praise him, just to bless him. Psalms 122 and 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Would you look at your neighbor and ask them, are you glad to be here? Are you glad to be here? Yeah, because you see, David found a pure delight when he was reminded that it was time to go to the tabernacle to worship. For David, this was not like pulling teeth. It was not a burdensome task or a routine that he dreaded to do. And you know, sometimes it's hard to tell if the saints of God that come to church happy. come to church glad, because sometimes we come to church and praise and worship is flowing, and the Spirit of God is moving, and He's ready to set some things free in the atmosphere. But we come to church and we sit like a bump on the log. We come to church with our arms folded and our legs crossed, and we come to church mean mugging the preacher as he preaches, "I wish he'd hurry up." But can I suggest to you that this is where praise takes place? Some young people come into the church, "Mom and Dad made me come. They woke you up too early this morning. You'd rather have slept in and done some other things." But may I suggest to you that we ought to be more like David, who found full fulfillment and gladness anytime he could go to worship. And can I suggest to you today that if David was happy and glad to go into the house of worship, then we ought to be happy and glad to go into the house of worship too. What if this was your last time breathing and you could not worship God anymore? It would be a shame to know that you did not take advantage of worshiping Him in the atmosphere. It would be a shame to know that you did not take advantage to lift your hands and open your mouth and say something. Say something. Now that David has helped us understand who should worship God and how our spirit should be when we go into worship, David now helps us with when we should worship and how our praise ought to be. All right, Psalms 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I don't know about anyone else in here, but can I be honest again? There are times when I don't feel like praising and worshiping God. Okay, y'all gonna sit there and act like y'all always feel like lifting your hands. You always feel like worshiping. Everything's always cookie and cream. You're always on cloud nine. There are times when I don't feel like praising and worshiping God because life brings struggles and obstacles and things in my way, and I don't feel like lifting my hands. And the last thing I feel like doing is worshiping. Some of you might be in here today. You don't feel like worshiping. Life is beginning to get too hard. Trials are beginning to weigh you down. I don't feel like worshiping today. But how many of us know that we have to move our feelings out of the way? Because I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what it is, because God is still God. You're not in the situation you're in because God put you there. Some of us are in the situation that we're in because we got our own selves there. And then we have the nerve to sit down on God. And we have the nerve to cross our arms to God and act as if He owes us something. Act as if we're doing Him a favor by not waving our hands. Act like we're doing Him a favor by sitting there with our arms folded and our legs crossed. You're not doing God a favor. All you're doing is missing out on the power of God. So even when you don't feel like it, when your flesh begins to say, "I don't feel like worshiping," you got to speak to lay hands on your own self and say, "Oh, I will worship Him. I may not feel like it. Trials are in my way. Amen. Rocks are in my way. I can't get across. This journey's getting hard." But you got to lay hands on yourself and say, I will worship Him. We ought to respond like David did and say, "I'll bless the Lord." Sometimes when you don't feel like it, I'll bless Him anyhow. I'll bless Him on a good day. I'll bless Him on a bad day. I'll bless Him when all is well. I'll bless Him when all hell is breaking loose in my life. I will bless the Lord. Anybody here got an "I will bless the Lord" in your spirit? Oh, come on, "I will bless the Lord." I don't care what is going on in my life. I will bless the Lord. Somebody shout, "I will bless the Lord." By David suggesting that "I will bless the Lord at all times" shows us that this praise and this blessing of the Lord should be a continual blessing. In other words, there should not be an on and off switch on our praise. All right, didn't get too many amens there. That's all right. But I have found that that's what a lot of us are doing. Amen. A lot of us treat our praise unto God like a clap on, clap off light. You know the commercial. Come on, act like y'all don't watch TV. Now, I know y'all watch TV. That clap on, clap off light commercial. Come on, can y'all do it with me? Clap on, clap off. And that's how some of us treat God. Thank you, man. Y'all kind of good. We treat God like a clap on, clap off light. But there should not be an on and off switch on our praise. Because the text said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." So we have the nerve to sit in church and sometimes not give God the praise. If your praise is off now, come on, let's do it again. Let's clap our praise back on. Come on, clap on. Now, we ain't going to do clap off. It's on now. Let's keep it on. Amen. So David suggests to us that our praise ought to be a continual praise. It should be ongoing. You see, we ought to put our praise in cruise control and let God have his way in our life. Now that David helps us understand who should praise the Lord, how our spirit should be when going to the house of the Lord, and when and how our worship should be, the last thing I want to point out here today is that David now helps us understand that God inhabits the praise of his people. God inhabits the praise of his people. Psalms 22 and 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Now, inhabit means to dwell or to reside in. So in other words, God feels at all time comfort when he hears his name being uplifted. And David understood this. And when we think about the deed that was done and by him sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to the cross, doesn't he deserve our praise? Yes, he does. When we think about and how we praise him, we cause God to want to respond to our praise. When we worship him, we put God in an environment that says, "I am pleased." And then he responds back to us by saying, "What need can I meet for you today?" Young people, your grades not where you want them to be. What need can I meet today? Marriage is funny at home. What need can I meet today? Money is funny. What need can I meet today? Supervisor getting on your nerves at the job. What need can I meet today? How can I supply your needs? Because you made me happy by lifting your hands in worship. You pleased me by pressing into my presence in spite of your situation. So we cause the praise to God. We cause him to feel comfortable in the midst of praise. In Acts 16 and 25, we talked about this morning, and if you weren't here this morning, you need to get the tape. But Acts 16 and 25, it said that Paul and Silas were locked in jail. And Paul began to pray, and Silas began to sing. And it says that as they praised God, they praised him so hard that they shook the foundation of the prison, and it caused them to go loose. Somebody say at midnight. Yeah, this happened at midnight. They shook the foundation and caused not only Paul and Silas to go free, but do you realize your praise will set the person next to you free? Oh, come on. Can we praise them just for the person next to you? Yeah, when Paul and Silas began to worship and began to sing praises unto God, you know what happened? Not only were they locked up, and not only did they get loose, but at the same time, the people in the other prisons got loose too. Can you clap your hands with the person next to you? Maybe they need to be loose from something today. So your praise is not just for you, but your praise is for your family. Come on, praise them. You got some people locked in jail today. Come on and praise them. Yeah. Your children going astray. Come on and praise them. Yeah, come on. Let's make God feel comfortable in the atmosphere. Let's make God feel welcomed in the atmosphere. Let's make God feel glorified in the atmosphere. Oh, magnify the air with me. Let us adore his name together. Come on, open up your mouth and give God the praise in here. Praise is not an option, but praise is a command. We commanded to praise the Lord. And can I tell you today that proper praise will cause God to change some things in your life. Proper praise will cause the blessing of God to fall down on you. Proper praise will cause you to go to the next level in God. Proper praise will confuse the enemy. Proper praise, and I say nothing here, proper praise will have God move on your behalf. Do I have any praises in here at Glenville New Life? Open up your mouth. Come on, come on, come on. Where is the proper praise at? Well, what do you need from God? Will you exalt him? Will you magnify him? Hallelujah in here. Worship and praise takes place when I can recall and reflect and remember where the Lord has brought me from. Now, each one of us in here have a past. Don't look at me like you don't have a past. Sometimes we get so caught up on things and we think that we've arrived. Can I suggest to you today, none of us in this room have ever arrived. Everyone's still growing. Everyone's still being built on the foundation of God. Any worshipers in here who can declare that if it had not been, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. I wouldn't be here preaching in this pulpit, I could tell you that. But thanks be unto God that he was on my side. Thanks be unto God when people left me, he was on my side. Thanks be unto God when people stabbed me on the back, he was on my side. Thanks be unto God that he kept me in my right mind. Thanks be unto God that he is a lifter of my head. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting door, that the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? My God, the Lord God, strong and mighty. Is he mighty in your life today? So David, he helps us understand when we should praise the Lord and how we should praise the Lord. David helps us understand that God lives in a home in the praises of his people. Everyone standing to your feet. Stand to your feet today. Come on, come on, come on. Let's begin to worship God. Right here, right here. It's a good place. It's a good place. It's a good place. It's a good place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we serve an awesome God. God is waiting to inhabit your praise. And as I said at the beginning of this message, is that we don't need an organ to praise him. We don't need a preacher to praise him. We don't need the praise and worship team to get up here and pump us up Sunday after Sunday. But we ought to already be ready to come into the house of worship, already fully charged, already to live, ready to lift our hands and worship. Come on, would you lift your hands right now and tell God, fill me. Fill me, God, Holy Spirit, that I may worship you with spirit and in truth. For his word says that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Come on, don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Close your eyes. Come on, come on. Get into God's presence right here. See, everybody can praise him, but not everybody can worship. You got to know who he is to be able to worship.